Andres Almirey, 25th of August, and Andres, we will talk about
Gradle
and build tools. Well, it's not just me, everybody will build. Hopefully we will talk about Gradle and build tools. So let me begin by saying again, welcome for those of you that are new to the conference. We usually have tons of fun, and I'm looking forward to have lots of fun here. So the topic right now is mainly Gradle, but we can also extend it to other build tools. I can confess that I am a Gradle addict. I use it wherever I can. It's not that I hate Maven, it's just that sometimes it's very cumbersome to do simple things, and the complicated ones are simply, definitely impossible. With Gradle, they become easier. That doesn't mean it's the best tool that is out there. So this is why we have this discussion for people that do not know Gradle. For those that do know it, what are the pain points? Where can we help the community make things better? So does anybody want to say some things, some words about Gradle, or maybe or something else?
I could say something.
Yeah, please do.
You know, I've used Maven for many, many years. Like, probably 2005 when I started with Maven. And then I switched to Gradle, and it was really nice. Like, much more concise way of expressing dependencies. But then I sort of started running into problems. Like, I needed a test jar, you know, the Maven test jar concept. And that was one thing I then had to figure out, which was not covered by the Gradle documents anywhere. So then that was one complication. And then I needed to start publishing artifacts.
Yes. Does that mean that you couldn't figure out the test class path? Is that difficult to do in Gradle then?
Well, actually configuring Gradle to actually create a test jar that then can be consumed by
right.
projects.
Okay.
I mean, it was not obvious how to do that from the docs, and someone just sent me what to put in the build.dot Gradle in the producer and in the consumer side. So that was sort of one, it's sort of like, oh, this is not as straightforward as it should be. And then it got really complicated because I wanted to publish to an artifactory repository these various artifacts, and that was that just seemed really complicated, like lots of weird complex issues, and I now have it working, but it wasn't as easy as the advertising made it out to be.
Okay, that's. Fair enough. Yes.
So I'd be very interested in that because test class path in Maven is super easy to do, and I use it all the time. So I'd be interested in that when it comes to Gradle to manipulate the test class path. And the other thing I was wondering if you have any experience over using Gradle on C++ or C.
Yeah.
Because that's where things can kind of get nasty.
Yeah,
in Java it's kind of easy.
Yeah. Anyways.
So I guess I'm similar to Chris. I've been using Maven for 8 years or so. I guess about 2006, I think I started. Actually, I've just gone through at my company a replacement of using SBT for our Scala stuff. I'm using Maven with the Scala plugin. And everyone's like, it takes 10 seconds rather than 10 minutes, so it's wonderful. But it kind of feels like it does everything. You know, it builds, it runs, it tests. It can do documentation generation, it can do all these amazing things, but it feels like there's something simpler inside trying to get out. I've never actually used Gradle, but I'd be interested, I've heard people rave about it, so I'd be quite interested to see what people think in terms of, you know, is it like the holy grail of build systems?
Right. Those are really fair points.
It's like Maven's really opinionated, whereas Gradle is unopinionated, but then you've got to add a whole bunch of opinions.
Yeah. So about in that regard, yeah, a little bit of history for those that don't know Maven. First, we had nothing to build projects in the Java space. Then somebody tried to use make, and he ran away. Somebody else created ant using XML and later apologized for using XML. Then we have Maven, and Maven gave us conventions that was really great. The problem with those conventions is that you stray away from the happy path, then you find yourself in Project Help. And there are many plugins out there, and many of them are not aware of the other ones. So if you want to create a, like the shade plugin, a fat jar, what about the additional resources? So we have transformers, we have some stuff that have to be done either in this plugin, but may not work with additional plugins. What about the build helper plugin, application plugin, all those things? They are completely separate. They are walls on their own. Whereas in the Gradle build, they are a little bit more connected. Now, what's great about Gradle is that it also uses the conventions put forward by Maven. So migration should be easier. And they, at least in a spirit, the idea of what you put in a build file is how your project deviates from the conventions. Because even in Maven, when you follow the conventions, you still have to specify some of them in the XML. Why? I have no idea. But given that Gradle gives you this freedom again that we had with Ant, when we specify pretty much everything that we want, if you stray away from the conventions, then you have to know those perhaps magic incantations how to do things in Gradle. In the past, documentation was not really that good. Presently, it's much, much better. I will go on record and say that documentation in Gradle now is better than the Maven one. It could be better. And this is one of the areas that the Gradle community would like to see enhancements coming up. How you build plugins is easier to get started, but once you get into the gnarly details of doing some things that may be complex, yes, you will eventually need to ask on the Gradle forum if something is not working. I don't know what else can I say about Gradle, but yes, please.
The other thing about Maven is partly a build framework, but it's also partly a repository for dependencies. And for me, the main benefit of Maven, it's not the build system as such, it's basically a repository, which has been built by Maven. And this is probably also used by other systems. Is it right? Excuse me, Gradle?
Yeah, Gradle can consume Maven compliant repositories, so that's no problem. The same as an Ivy, okay. They use the same structure. The interesting thing about a Maven build file is that it both defines what are the coordinates for the project, what are the dependencies, what is the group, the name, all those things, but it also defines how you build it itself. And all the information is in one file, and everybody can see that information. Sometimes that is good when you're learning, when you want to know how to configure a plugin, but sometimes you don't need that. When you publish an artifact to an artifact repository, you only need to know the basic coordinates, what's the name, the group ID, the version, and which dependencies does it have. This is what Gradle gives you when you publish an artifact using the Maven Publish plugin, which is more recent than the Maven one, which was probably the one that gave you problems.
But, well, it's interesting you talk about the publishing, because there's the old way and the new way. But if I remember correctly, I couldn't use the new way because the new way only supports one artifact per project.
No.
Because I got some error that when I Googled it, said exactly that.
Yeah.
And so I actually gone through, used the new way, and then it was like, oh, I'm trying to publish this test jar, and I got some error, which made me revert back to the old one.
Okay, so here's a little bit of history. There are two Maven publishing plugins in Gradle that can get a little bit confused for you. The first one is the Maven plugin. It's kind of the standard one. When it creates a POM file, you can attach as many artifacts as you want. Some of them may be the test jar. And it allows to do signing. If you want to publish to Sonatype's repository, you need to sign your artifacts. And the thing that I don't like about that one is, first, it's a little bit old. Second, the way that you customize the POM file is weird. When you are now really used to Gradle, because in Maven, you know, you put everything on the POM file, you don't think about it anymore. Here, you know, you have a build file that says, this is how I build it, but then this is how I want to publish the POM file, which are two different things. The Maven Publish plugin is newer. It is supposed to be simplified. It doesn't support signing yet. This might be a deal breaker for some of you. For this, there's an alternative. There is a Nexus plugin that will allow you to publish to any Nexus compatible repository. If you're not using Nexus, if you're using Artifactory, there's an Artifactory plugin as well. So the guys from JFrog know how to deal with their own product. So they publish a plugin. And here, I want to say something about these Maven compatible repositories. Does anybody here know about Bintray? Who uses GitHub here? Almost everybody, right? So we know GitHub, social coding. You know what Bintray is? Social binary repositories. Bintray is GitHub for binaries. So in here, you can publish any binaries you want. You don't have any restrictions whatsoever. You don't need to sign anything because the repository knows who you are. You can publish anything you want to. You can publish regular jars, you can publish SIPs, you can even publish node, whatever these things are called. You can push node dependencies there. You can tell I don't use node. But these guys support that. And it's possible that once you have supplied a jar to Bintray, you can sync that jar to Maven Central using Bintray's API. So they take care of everything. As long as you are signing with Sonatype, then it's much, much easier. Bintray is pretty much a superset of Maven Central repository. You'll find much more binaries there. And again, it's social binary repository, just like GitHub.
Is it quite new? Because it has a
2 years old.
I was trying to use it to find some older versions of libraries, and because it has quite a good integration with Artifactory.
Yeah.
That we use, and so you can look for stuff on Bintray that you'd like to.
Yeah. So the thing about it, so when I say it's a superset of the Maven Central, is that when you first query for an artifact that is not on JCenter, JCenter is kind of like the super central. It will cache that query and then ask Maven Central if it's there and then put it in game. So the next time that somebody queries for that one, it will be already on JCenter. So it has the capability to reach out to everything that Maven Central has plus everything that somebody else has published on Bintray. And why I mention this? Because there happens to be a Bintray plugin for Gradle that simplifies a lot how you upload things to this repository. I use it a lot on my projects. I use the Bintray plugin. I use the Maven Publish plugin. One thing that I have found with Maven Publish is that by default, all the dependencies that you have, they use the runtime scope. It doesn't matter if you specify a dependency of type test, or of type compile, or of type runtime, as you would do. The final POM that is generated by Maven Publish will have all of them using the runtime scope. That's kind of weird. So you have to do some extra things there. It is possible to attach a little bit of metadata, additional metadata to dependencies, but that metadata is not put into the POM. So if you need to specify that a dependency has an optional attribute like you would do in a POM file, you have to do an extra step. It's not like you're doing the Gradle file, the dependencies blog, say this one is optional, and then that will be put automatically in the POM. Not yet. This is one of the things that I would really like to see working in a better way in the future.
I guess you use your own Bintray?
I use my own Bintray repositories. I contribute to the Groovy project, Griffon, ASCII.dot, and so many others, and all of them are published now to Bintray. And at least half of these projects sync with Maven Central directly using JCenter.
That's synced in the way that only from the Maven Central to Central?
No, they push the binary from JCenter to Central.
Okay.
So Maven Central will never be able to look into JCenter because they don't care.
So then how do you consume the binaries from Bintray, for example, Maven or Redbit?
You will have to configure an additional repository, the JCenter repository, using a standard repository section in Maven, if your binary resides on JCenter. If it's not linked to JCenter, if it's your own personal repository, then you still also use that particular URL.
I want to bring one more point. There is another build system in JavaScript world called Grunt. If you are building an application that is part of Java, part of the HTML JavaScript, now you need two pages, right? So you need to build everything in Grunt, the backend, say in Gradle. Then you need to create, I guess, a task in Gradle to copy everything or maybe to put them in the Word file. How did you have experience with that?
Yeah, there is a Grunt plugin for Gradle. That takes care of that. What is interesting about Gradle, so let's say, forgive me, Mark, because I'm going to mention Covertura here, but it's precisely because I have a very specific point. Who has configured Covertura and the site reports together?
Who uses Checkover reports?
I mentioned this because when you configure Covertura and the site reports, tests are run first, then it instruments the test, and what happens? It runs again. So you run the test twice, that's stupid. And the second time is for integration, is for running the instrumentation and then generating the reports. This does not happen with Jacoco. Even in Maven, the tests are run once, instrumentation is once, report is just once, that's great. So, but the thing here is that Maven is silly in a respect that it doesn't know if a task has completed some work. It doesn't know if the inputs of that particular task have changed over time. Gradle is aware of this. Gradle does some tries to be smart when caching. So if you tell a task, these are my inputs. So it will say, okay, these are my source files, and I know what are the timestamps of this thing. So it will cache that information. So when you compile first, it knows, okay, I don't have any outputs, I don't have any class files. So it will happily compile everything. When you tell it to compile again, even if it's in the same build step, or it's just another build iteration, it will check those inputs. Are those things changed? No. So it's very likely that the outputs have not changed. So I skip this task, so your build is much faster. This will happen again with the, what happens with Covertura and Jacoco. It's smart to know that, okay, the tests have been instrumented already, the code is instrumented, I run the test, nothing has changed, so why do I need to invoke the test again? It's much, much faster. The same happens with Grunt. Grunt's a little bit smart, trying to cache the inputs and outputs. And if you configure the Grunt plugin with Gradle.
Here, the Grunt plugin.
That's new? So again, how you develop the front-end side of your application with the back-end, which is probably Java, then this shouldn't be a problem. There is support for writing or compiling C and C++ in Gradle. I don't know. I suppose Maven can do it. I really have no experience with Maven in that regard.
Yeah, there's an R plugin that's called
Maven also claims there is support, but I have never seen it working.
Yeah, in this case, Gradle does support that because there is a paying customer for this feature. So there's a company called Gradleware. There is no relationship with VMware. They are a commercial entity, but everything is open source. But they do have one customer that is paying them good money to make sure that they can build something C and C++ with Gradle. And there is also
who's that?
I don't know. I really can't tell who. But I think it's somebody in the U.S. in the East Coast. There's a possibility to build also Objective-C with Gradle. And hopefully, in the future, we will be able to also build Swift applications with Gradle. Because Gradle, again, follows the Maven conventions, but tries to do a one step back and say, I know how projects should be built, but it should be a little bit agnostic about the end platform. Could be Java, could be C, could be C++. Whereas Maven says, I'm rooted in Java, I'm going to do everything with Java, and that's fine. But if you want, if you need to use something else, well, you can't. Well, that's a reality.
I presume the Objective-C that you mentioned is still going to be an OSX, right? You need an OSX.
It's very likely.
Yeah. Machine.
Yeah, because of the compiler.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So I'm sorry, I don't know if you're going to talk about this later in the general overview of Gradle, but what's the key for, they don't have a gap, right? So what's the key, can you manipulate that key, can you make it a composite key with more than group ID, artifact ID, and version Gradle or not?
So yes, they do support gaps, like in Maven. The question is, what about classifiers? What about sometime additional metadata? The Gradleware team believes that classifiers are a hack. So they kind of support it because they need to consume these dependencies that already live with these coordinates in a Maven repository. But they really want to rethink how we manage the dependencies. The same thing happens with the provided scope. We know we have provided scope in Maven, even the system scope. And I use the provided scope in Maven when I want to have a compile time dependency that is not leaked out into the runtime. And I also use it for some of the cases where I know this is the side effect, but it's not the right thing to do. It's kind of like the same thing with the profiles. You can't have, for example, when you cannot do something with Maven, you go and use Ant, use the Ant run plugin. But you cannot bind the several different tasks to the Ant run plugin if you want to do something else. Like process resources is one thing, and then copy the resources for the distribution or the EasyPack plugin. You cannot do this. What you do, you create different profiles, each one of them with its own Ant run task, and you know you can do it. But now you have to deal with different profiles. So the profiles are just a means to get something that is not already supported by Maven that should be different bindings for a particular Amron task. Gradle doesn't have this problem because it knows which are the different tasks. It builds a graph of all the tasks that you can invoke and then goes through each one that says, okay, this one is not needed because it's not connected to anybody. Nobody's invoking this one. This one is required by the other guys, but this one is inputs and outputs have not changed, so it's very likely that I'm not going to invoke it. I'm just going to say it's up to date. Whereas Maven says, I'm going to compile, I'm going to test, I'm going to process the resources, I'm going to do everything, every single time. And all those lifecycle phases are fixed. You cannot add new ones. You can only bind to existing one. But what happens when you have two plugins bound to the same phase? In which order are they invoked? What do you need to make sure that one of those is invoked first than the other. Then you have to go with profiles. Again, profiles in this case will be a hack.
No, wait, it is the sequence in the pump. So the first one is the first one in the pump, and the second one, if they're bound at the same phase.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you find in the pump?
Yeah. So the sequence is
okay, yeah. Yeah, that can work.
But still, like you said, you're not, you're bound to their life cycle. It sounds like in Gradle, you create your own life cycle. You're in charge of your own life cycle.
You can give hints to Gradle, yes. Most of the time, you get it right. And why I say this, because even when, at least this used to be in the past, this is probably one of the things that you experienced, Chris, that when you told Gradle, I want to invoke the task in this order, sometimes it will say, I don't care, I'm going to invoke them in alphabetical order. This used to happen with usually when you bootstrap a server, then run the web test, and then clean. Usually clean will happen first. The clean, but that was kind of weird. But I believe that in Gradle 2, that's no longer the case.
Yeah. I mean, what I did find interesting was the ease with which you can create plugins with Gradle.
Yeah.
Simplest case, just putting some common code in, like, what's it, build source directory. I mean, I was doing that first, and that was just sort of a nice, low ceremony way of just having consistent behavior across a bunch of projects.
Has anybody here built Mojo or Maven plugin? Did you love the experience?
You have to know the framework real well.
Really well. In this case, getting started with Gradle plugins is much easier, though at the end you still have to know the framework to get the most out of it. But it's the initial investment is not as big as you do with Gradle. The first thing you do, because Gradle build files are just Groovy code, is a scripting language for calling out loud. It's not XML. So you can really have if statements, you can have looping constructs, you can have clusters, for God's sake. So you can define everything in the build file if you want to. Again, it's going to be very big. Then you can move those additional plugin tasks into build source. Build source in a special directory. The name is build, capital S source, next to your project. And Gradle knows that everything that you put in that special directory has to be built first, then put into the builds class path, and then you can use it. This is great. And the third thing you do is that you create a regular project. It could be Maven-based, of course, better do Gradle-based. This is where you put your plugins, and then you package everything in a jar, put it in the repository, it could be Maven local, it could be Pinterest, anywhere. And then you define those dependencies into your build. This is how you consume the plugin, and then you use it in your build. This will be the same thing as we do right now with Maven when you define any kind of plugin.
It was really quite nice. It was a real positive experience.
Yeah, it's very easy to get started. That is for sure.
I was wondering, being very new to Gradle, up to which point can it build? I mean, does it produce Solaris packages, Windows installers, ISO images, bootable ISO images, all that kind of stuff? The stuff that I really want at the end of my build.
Right. Do you want to give us an overview, more or less? Is it too complex and too long?
So Gradle itself, again, it's a little bit of a language agnostic. If you want to build Java-based artifacts, you apply the Java plugin, which only gives you the jar task. And it's just a regular jar, and you put the Maven publish, and then now you have the possibility to create a POM and publish to a particular repository. If you have Bintray, now you push the Bintray repositories. If you need to build a Solaris package or an RPM or a Debian package, then there are additional plugins that you can install. The one that I would recommend is called OSS Packager or Package. It is found on the Netflix open source repository. It's now supported by Netflix employees itself, so it's good because they use it in production. And it allows you to build RPMs, a Debian, and there's bound to be another one. If you need to create OSX images, there is another plugin called Mac App Bundle, if I'm not mistaken. It lives somewhere in Google Code. They have not upgraded to GitHub. But I use it almost every day to create applications for Mac. For Windows, you can use the ECPack plugin, which is a universal Java base. There's bound to be Install4j. It's likely that it's a Windows-specific plugin. I don't use it because I don't use Windows, but it's bound to be there. Or there's also Unix-friendly one called Application. This is a core plugin. When you use this plugin, you simply package or say install app. This generates a directory with a bin directory that contains the launch script, a lib directory where all the runtime dependencies are, and a zip file. This is how you usually distribute the Unix. There is a Gradle plugin portal. Not all plugins are there because plugin authors are encouraged to register their plugins. Gradleware does not register the plugins. So I would say that it contains around 50% of all the plugins that are publicly available out there. If it's not on the site is plugins.gradle.org, if it's not there, then a quick Googling you'll see that it's mostly on Bintray. Or if not, you will find the source on GitHub, very, very likely.
What plugins do you use most often? Can you name them?
I use, again, Maven Publish, Bintray. I use another plugin called License. This asserts that all your source code has the same header, and if it's not, it will paste it. It's kind of like the RAT plugin for Maven. I also use the Versions plugin, similar to the Versions plugin in Maven, but this one is smaller. It only tells you if your dependency is out of date. It will never change your build file. Whereas the Maven Versions plugin, it can change your point file, which for some people this may be good. I think that is bad. I use the Gradle Git plugin to publish documentation to the GitHub Pages branch of my repositories. You wouldn't believe how easy that is. Once you have JS Pages branch, and you have little configuration saying where is the URL of my repository and my credential, so that it'll ask you every single time what is your username and password. Just do Gradle publish Gradle pages, or not GitHub pages, and you give it what is the input. It will grab the input, do whatever it's needed, check out, put it there, auto-commit, boom, you're go.
You wouldn't believe how hard it is in Maven to do that.
You wouldn't believe how easy
it is.
Yeah, really so easy. I do it every single time. I have like 50 different projects right now hosted on GitHub where I do this every single time. The other one that, of course, I would like to talk about, because if it doesn't work, I'm at fault, is the ASCII Dr. Gradle plugin. So there's a Maven plugin for ASCII Doctor. For those of you who don't know, writing documentation in ASCII Doctor is really, really fun. And the Gradle plugin allows you to transform ASCII Doc sources into a particular backend, whether it be HTML5, DocBook, EPUB, and eventually PDF. Or so many other formats, for example, Dex.js, Reveal.js, DC-Slice, if you are writing a presentation using a JavaScript framework for these things.
Curious to know, like, the workflow that you're using for publishing version jars is. So, like, right now, I have a Jenkins build, and the build number is passed as a property on when Gradle is invoked, and that ends up being the build number gets incorporated into the jar that's then published to Artifactory. I'm still wondering how you do that.
I don't use build numbers, but I know there is a plugin for that. It's called Build Info Extractor, especially if you're working with Artifactory. Most of my projects are hosted on Travis for CI, and the Coverage is hosted on coveralls.io. If you haven't seen it, it's a great tool for having historic information on your coverage. It supports Jacoco and supports Covertura as well. And other tools like Saga for JavaScript. I didn't know there's code coverage for JavaScript. Saga. For JavaScript.
The historic information.
Yeah, so every time that you build, you publish the coverage to coveralls.io, and this guy will give you the history because how much coverage has increased or decreased for a particular class or project. And that's another plugin that I use, Jacob, the coveralls plugin, which is really cool. There is a coveralls plugin for Maven. I have used it, and it also works pretty good. But again, the build information, I really don't use it. I know that the Groovy project uses it. So it's just a matter of configuring the plugin. So saying, where do you find the plugin? Apply the plugin and maybe specify if there's a specific branch where you want to do the tagging, and that's it.
So I've used Ant and Maven, never used Gradle. The question I've got is, are there any compelling reasons that you would move an existing project using Maven to Gradle? And second part of that is, if you were starting a new project, would you start definitely with Gradle, even if you had Maven experience?
Right. Let me reply the second question first. Personally, I would certainly give Gradle a chance, even if I were a hardcore Maven user. First, because of the task cache, your builds will be much faster. Most of the plugin functionality that you may require from Maven already exists on Gradle. And the answers, in case that you get stuck, the answers you get from the Gradle community come much faster than from the Maven community. At least, again, that's my personal experience. And finally, documentation, I find it to be a bit better. But migrating an existing Maven one, it depends on what capabilities and what behavior you need from your particular build right now. I was working on a big Maven-based project where we had to rely on BOM files. You guys know what a BOM file is, a build of materials? So it's a big BOM file that only contains other dependencies. And what you do is you include that POM file. Include that dependency of type POM with a scope import. So everything that POM file is imported here on your new project as if you were you define everything. So it's kind of like, abstract POM, extending a POM, kind of feels like that. So this is kind of recent. And Gradle does not support that. But there is a plugin for that. But it had a problem. We detected that problem. We talked to the guy that is building the guy is from Pivota, so Spring Source. And he's going to push a new release really soon. So this is how fast they react. Just the same day that I say, this thing doesn't work for my project, they fix it and they publish a snapshot. Whereas in the Maven world, my experience is that it's a little bit slower. It's not like they don't listen, it's just that maybe they are busy with some other stuff, doing some more XML.
So you can do all the GPG signing, push to GitHub, and...
Yes, you can do much everything. But in my case, I didn't have bomb support.
Yeah.
And so the dependency management block that you have in Maven was not really, it's not natively supported by Gradle. It's something that an additional plugin has to do.
And you share your opinions about the ID support
for Gradle? The ID support, woo! I am a fan of the command line tool.
I know you're using TextMate. But
I use TextMate, I use Vim, and I'm not ashamed of saying that. if you're not using Vim or TextMate, I use IntelliJ.
Just the question is that, like, first asked about if you would be migrating Maven project to Gradle, you probably will lose a lot of good stuff from your ID.
If you like to use the ID for everything, so again, if you do not rely on the command line, then you will find yourself editing those build files by hand without as much support from the ID that you will have from Maven side. So Maven is not easy. Oh, I want to include a new dependency. It does auto-completion, it automatically drags everything. We know how it works, it's fine. In Eclipse, not so good. IntelliJ, much better. The Gradle, it's still going. So there is Gradle support for the three major IDs, NetBeans, Eclipse, and IntelliJ.
Team City.
I'm going to go with CI environments in just a second. So code completion, code suggestions, this kind of stuff, refactoring, it works a little bit better now in Maven than in Gradle. But this is changing because the Gradleware team is aware that this is one of the big pain points. Because there are many people out there that only deal with the ID. They want everything what's supposed to be an integrated development environment, right? So if it doesn't work, they will make it work. So what about CI environments? This is one thing that the Maven system is copying from Gradle. When you install Gradle, and by the way, the best way to get Gradle on your system, whatever it is, use another project called GVM, the Groovy Environment Manager. It's a set of shell scripts. It works pretty much on every major distribution, even on Windows. But you have to have Simwin, or you use Baboon, which is another great shell. B-A-B-U-N. Once you get this thing going, you say GVM install Gradle, and it will download the latest Gradle version for you and configure it for the shell. And you can tell it, I don't want the Gradle 2.1 or 2.0, whatever is the latest one. I want to install Gradle 1.12. So you do JVM install Gradle 1.12. We'll download it and switch, and now you can that shell is pointing to 1.12. And in another shell, you can say, I still want to use JVM Gradle 2. So now you have two shells using two different Gradle versions. This is really nice. You don't have to maintain the switches. You just do JVM use, and they switch from one another. It's really great. So once you have this, it's not like you were going to use JVM on a CI server because you don't have a command. Or maybe the DevOps guys or the IT guys will not give you access to the CI server. There is an additional command that you can always regenerate at any time called the Gradle wrapper. You do Gradle wrapper as then the command line. This will generate a simple jar with a simple properties file. And this will tell Gradle, if you invoke this command, Gradle W, it will try to locate that particular Gradle version that you specify in the property. If it's not there, it will download it from the network, put in the right path, and then invoke it. So for CIs, this is great. First, because you don't have to grab Gradle installed, you don't have to battle with the IT guys to install that tool. And
just
second,
for a moment, you're not connected to the internet.
If you're not connected to the internet, in this case, you're screwed. If you have not downloaded first, if it's downloaded, then it's already cached, and you can use it. So you have to be connected for the first time. But the same thing would happen with your dependencies, right?
I know, you know how difficult it is to get all the main dependencies if you're not connected to the internet.
I'm going to say something about those dependencies. Okay. So
there's many people here that may not be connected to the internet for the engineering environment.
Yes, true. But I'm going to go with that one. So CI environments with the Gradle wrapper. It's just so easy. And the next version of Maven, Tesla, is copying the wrapper. So there will be a Maven wrapper eventually, something like this. Because it's so big in CI environments, there's no easier way to have your project built. What about dependencies and offline mode? Gradle is smart enough to know that it's very likely that you have Maven installed in your system. And it knows how to keep track of its dependencies, so it has its own cache. So at a time, a few months ago, no, that's more like a year ago, you know, Maven downloads the whole internet whenever you build a project. Well, Gradle generates a second copy. That's kind of stupid. So what the Gradle guy said, what if you already have Maven installed? What if, aside from our cache, we pick into the Maven cache? And if there's a dependency that we need, we just cache the metadata information. So Gradle now no longer duplicates the whole internet volume machine if you already have a copy via Maven.
There's two repositories you've got, one you've got
one. There are two repositories, but the Gradle one will be mostly metadata. The jar files will live on the Maven side.
I have a question about that. Like, the Gradle cache, is that a global Gradle cache, or is it a project?
There are two ways. There's the global one for every project to consume, and there is a local per project for the tasks, not for the dependencies. The dependencies are shared for everybody, every project.
But that's the same as target and then two, right?
Yes. Not for target and M2. There is another directory called .gradle on your project, at the root of your project, where the tasks that have been compiled are cached, so your script runs much faster. And the target, in the case of Gradle, that's the build. That's where you push, where the build puts every compiled class or every generated artifact.
But the main .m2 repository, I thought that was per user, not per project. So if I run it, it'll be in my home, and if my colleague runs it, it'll be his home.
Oh yeah, right. That's what I meant. I was thinking about the implicit user. So there's no global per machine where there's a lot of users. It's all the projects for a particular user.
Okay, well, why would you have a local one for the project?
It's for the caching of the tasks, for the compile scripts.
Okay, not for the dependencies.
Not for the dependencies.
Okay, but you can put the tasks. We could put the tasks in the main repository too, or not?
As jars, so there will be dependencies. Right. Yes. So then, in this case, there will be plugin jars.
Right.
Okay. So in the main world, you can point it a local. You can like redirect that .m2 path, which is great if you're building lots of projects in one CI environment, where they're doing them in store or something like that, and then you're overriding each other's snapshot jars with other dependencies and things like that. Maybe doing it wrong, admittedly, but it was just a pain. So I guess you can do something like that in Gradle, just say, don't use the user.m2, use my own cache.
I think it's possible, yes. And if it's not, then we should certainly raise an issue. Okay, we're almost done.
One more question. Sorry, this Gradle cache, have you ever run it on a system where timing is not good? Because I've been fighting this constant war with our system administrators who are unable to provide a decent network time. So all machines have different times because they have to build on different machines, or I run it on my local machine but the files are in fact on the file server. It'll maybe at least will go and complain, oh, I've got some stuff here which is built in the future. This looks strange.
I have no experience that because the servers that I hit don't have that kind of problem. Though I will say that it might happen.
No, but I think actually Gradle helps in that, I heard, because it uses the checksum of the jar to see if something is built or not, and not necessarily the date. So I think that would help a lot.
But you need to know if it's up to date. If, for example, the jar you build is more recent than the source code that you build it from.
Right. I heard. I don't know.
I guess in this case the servers must be synchronized in some way. I don't think Gradle can solve this problem on its own.
You might need some better systems.
Yes.
Yeah. And you see, you're not connected to the internet, and your servers are all different times.
Okay. So I look like there's plenty of still of interest on this topic. So certainly we can reconvene again. Maybe we can propose something. We can do. Whole discussions, and certainly we can do something happen at the HackerGarden if you're interested. Okay, I'm always passionate about Gradle, so just ask me any questions. I will see if I can give you a proper answer.
Thank you.
So, thank you.